All right, folks, with the download button of the Brandon LaPanty Show. As always, you can find all of our old shows at BrandonLaPanty.com or my other site, TechnologyGeek.org. So, folks, a lot of stuff going on in the news. Today, we're going to talk about all that. I guess the big news of the day, I guess what mainstream media has picked up. Obviously, Trump talking about passing the reins of the business over to his kids. Obviously, Eric and Don Jr. are going to be running the show, as I guess Ivanka, the daughter, is going to be helping him out over at the in Washington. So I'm saying he won't have any dealings to do with any of his businesses or anything like that while he's obviously busy. Interesting posts, is interesting front cover today. It says Trump upset over yellow journalism. Obviously, what happened with this is they're saying McCain actually got, I guess, a hold of it. Somebody sent him a document, and then he sent it to the FBI, and now it's all coming out. But I guess what's interesting about this is a lot of news sources have ran with the story but haven't actually confirmed it. And I guess now they're saying because of all the backlash from Trump and all that about this, CNN, obviously, very concerned because it could mess up the whole deal that they have going on, I believe, with AT&T. I think it's AT&T or Verizon they're supposed to be merging with. And I'm sorry, the article escapes me right now, but they're saying that they're concerned about their merger with the other company could actually affect them. So we'll see what happens with that. I doubt something like that's going to ruin a big merger like that. There's a lot of wheels in play, a lot of money being thrown around for something like that. I doubt something like that would affect it, but you never know. So that was in the news today. Apparently, from what I've read on Reddit and 4chan, some of that, apparently they're saying that the documents could have been faked, and that it might just be people on the internet trolling the news, the mainstream media news sources. That's very possible. It's happened before in the past. We'll have to see what happens with this. Obviously, in a week from now, Trump will be the president, and we will have, obviously, Obama. The Obamas, I'm sure, are packing their boxes right now as we speak, getting prepared to move out of the White House. One of the daughters had said they were hoping they could extend their stay so she can get married on the White House front lawn. Obviously, that's not going to happen, and I doubt the Obamas will be staying in the White House at all, especially with Trump being there. We all know that Trump and Obama aren't exactly the best of buds. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot going on right now in the news with all this type of stuff. Well, I'm sure we're getting a lot of mainstream media coverage. Everybody right now covering Trump's party, his after party after he gets inaugurated in. Obviously, we saw all that. We saw Ivanka bought a house they showed her new home down in Washington the other day. That was in the news. I believe that was on the front cover of the Washington Post, actually. So we saw that. Just there's so much mainstream media coverage of this going on. It's unbelievable. And at any time, it's not just, by the way, Trump is obviously just the biggest one they've right now. But it always gets a lot of news. All this type of stuff always gets news coverage. I remember when Obama was moving in, they were talking about what kind of kitchen Michelle Obama was going to cook in and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I remember all that. So, I mean, Trump's just getting the same amount of media press that all the other ones get. He just has he's just better at blowing it up and making it bigger than it really is at times. But, all that stuff. I remember the whole talk about the Obama, the first grandmother moving in, watching the kids, and I remember hearing all that stuff. So, the whole thing is, interesting to say the least. So I'll keep an eye on it. Obviously, when Obama obviously moves out, Trump actually moves in. His son still staying in New York with his mother for a while as Trump moves into the White House and starts taking care of things. Obviously, there's already a lot going on right now, and he's not even in office yet. Him talking about the other day on the news about how he doesn't know if he's going to like Putin or not, but if he does, it'll be an asset to the country. All this, coming out in the last couple hours, 24 hours or so. Every day it just seems to get more and more coverage. Actually, I'm starting to get sick of the news coverage because it's getting to be a little too much at times. So, there's a lot of other stuff going on in the news I'm going to talk about and stuff like that. But Some of the first things too I want to talk about. Apparently, Hillary Clinton. Apparently, there's an article about Hillary Clinton. Apparently, like I said, she was supposed to spend over $1 million on fireworks to the night of the when she won, supposedly won the election. And that never happened. Apparently, they're saying the reason why she didn't come out because they say she was actually pretty drunk and she was actually really upset about everything going on that she didn't win the election. There's actually been some stuff on Reddit and Twitter about the staffers, stuff that she said to staffers, and blaming people and all that for her loss. You know, when you're running for the presidency, you know, you're the one, you know, you have no one really to blame but yourself. I hate to say that, but, you know, she was, you know, talking about a lot of that stuff the other day. And, I mean, it's nobody's fault, I mean, that she lost. I mean, it happens. You know, everybody feels bad for her and stuff like that, but... you know, it also comes down to it. It was her that was, you know, she didn't win the electoral votes, but she didn't win the popular vote. You know, I mean, there's only can be one winner. I know her supporters are really upset about it. You know, I feel bad for the, you know, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. I mean, some of the people did have legitimate stories. Like the one lady's like, I went to the Javits Center because I wanted my daughter to see history in the making, the first ever woman president, and we didn't. We got Trump. So, I mean, there was a lot of news about that. You know, I think the problem with Hillary, and I have no problem with Hillary. I mean, I don't really care for her personally, but I have no problem with her as far as, I mean, she did have a lot of good ideas, but some of her ideas really did stink. And Trump, I'm not, you know, I don't like everything Trump's doing either, so. But I want to point out one thing, though. I understand her frustration, though, to a certain degree, and I'll tell you why. Because for those of you that don't remember, she ran a pretty hard primary race against Obama. I believe it was McCain that, you know, really got, you know, was already in at the Republican level way before her, and Obama just kept going back and forth. She'd win one state, he would win one state. She would win one state, he would win. And it just kept going on and on and on and on. And I think this is one of the things that really helped Obama get elected, because the primaries were getting so much coverage because we had never had a primary that was that tight in such a long time. I remember if he won Pennsylvania, he would win. And I remember she won Pennsylvania, which kept her in for, you know, another month or two. Then her campaign was going broke. So she had to write a check from her personal account into her election account to keep it going. By the way, it must be nice to have $10,000 just sitting around. You could write your own campaign fund. But, you know, there was a lot with that. And she ran a tight race and she lost. The primaries. Obama got elected, and she became, you know, secretary of. I believe she was secretary. What was she? She was secretary of something on his cabinet. And I'm sorry, it escapes me right now. It's been a long day. And anyway, you know, she worked with Obama for quite a few years. And then she was pretty much told by the Democratic Party, like, okay, you know, work with Obama. You were first lady. Now you're taking a step up to secretary of. I think it was secretary of defense. Then I'm thinking about it. And then she says, okay, and you're going to get to run in the primaries for presidential. Okay. So she runs her primary on the Democratic side. Okay. You know, she completely, you know, the only one that was even close to her was Bernie Sanders. Obviously, she beat him by quite a bit. And then of course she thinks she's a shoo-in for the presidency because she kind of figures that she's going to win whoever Republicans get. Well, she didn't imagine that the Republicans were going to pick Trump. I think her whole plan was that the Republicans would pick somebody from their party, like Cruz, and Trump would run as an independent. Obviously, that didn't happen. The Republicans got behind Trump, and, you know, he ended up winning, and now he's going to be our president a week from now. But the interesting part about this, like I said, so she was really frustrated when she lost, and rightfully so. I mean, she knows her age is against her. You know, 8 years, she's going to be in her 80s. Nobody's going to put an 80-year-old something person, anybody, in office. And she's not going to be able to run again. The Democrats aren't going to let her, too, on top of that. So she knows her chances of being president are pretty much done. Okay, now imagine you were, you know, the wife of the president. Then you run a hard primary and you lose to Obama. Okay? After you've just been, you know, after you were the first lady for 8 years with one of the most beloved presidents in history. And now all of a sudden, you go ahead and you run, you beat the Democrat, you know, you win the Democratic primary, And now you lose to somebody who wasn't even in the running 4 years ago. So I think that her frustration with that whole situation was kind of rightfully so. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a huge Hillary supporter. She'd have some good ideas, but I don't really like her personally. I like some of her ideas. I mean, I don't really have a problem with that. I liked her as the first lady. I think she did a lot then. Actually, I think she did more as the first lady to a certain degree than she did as, you know, as the Secretary of Defense. But that's besides the point. And, you know, now you run, and now you know you're not going to get a chance to run again. So, I mean, you know, she ran twice, spent, I'm sure, a half, probably, I bet you, close to $500 million, and nothing, didn't win. And then you had Trump, who ran a pretty good, who ran a really good campaign, didn't spend nearly as much as she did, and wins. So she's got a little, so that's why she's upset about it, and she knows she's never going to run again. And we know her. I don't think anybody from her family, her daughter probably won't run. You don't know her grandchildren are still babies at this point, so it'd be, you know, 20 years or so. No, more than that. It'd be at least 35 years, because you got to be 35 to be president. Maybe at least 35 years before they're even in contendership. So, I mean, you know, I think she knows that a chance of a Clinton being the one. You know, the Clintons want to be the Kennedys. Let's put it that way. That's always been my feel about the Clintons, that they want to be the Kennedys. So, but like I said, the media coverage about her and the Javits Center and the fireworks and all that, and talking about how people were so upset, you know, I mean, in a way, I kind of feel it's a little bit, I kind of understand her frustration. I'd be frustrated, too, if I was her. And I'm not saying I like her, but I understand it, to, you know, her frustration. So, folks, news coming out, some other news, folks, coming out of, I don't want to say out of New York, but reading in the paper here, apparently a university actually had to, they got a piece of malware on one of their computers, and it took over the whole network, and they had to pay $20,000 to get their network back. They actually had to pay the ransomware. I think that's pretty intense, and hearing more and more about this now, and it's not because the media is covering it more. It's because it's happening more and more. You know, the whole ransomware and the whole Bitcoin thing and all that. You know, this is getting, the hacking stuff is getting worse and worse and worse. And I know Trump said the other day in his speech that he was going to, you know, work with, you know, that, you know, the Republicans, their site didn't get hacked, but the Democrat site did get hacked. And he's going to talk, he had the six best people in computer security on his team, and that they were going to do that. I really hope he does. I really, really, really hope they do. But I don't know if it's going to happen or not. We'll have to see what happens. But I really hope that the country does take computer security and cybersecurity a lot more seriously. Snowden, obviously, still asking to be pardoned by Obama. I doubt that's going to happen, and we know Trump ain't going to do it. So I think it's safe to say that we're going to watch over the next year or so, something's going to happen with Snowden. I don't know what is going to happen, but something's going to happen. The same thing with Julian Assange. I think Trump is going to come down hard on these people, a lot harder than I think Obama did. So I think something's going to happen eventually. I don't know what yet, but I just think they're going to come down, he's going to come down a lot harder on them than Obama did personally. So we'll have to wait and see what happens. So some other stuff as well coming out of the news. I don't want to get too much into the news. Talking about, obviously, the stuff in the news about talking about legalizing more medical marijuana in the states. Apparently, there's a company called MedX, which is like, I guess like FedEx for medical equipment. They're saying that they're going to be the leading carriers of. They're going to deliver, right to marijuana right to your door. Not, this isn't medicinal. This is actually medical marijuana, and they're going to be delivering it, right to people's door. So they're going to be the Express Scripts of marijuana. That's the way you think of describe them. Some other stuff coming out of the news as well, folks. FedEx signing a big deal. With Walgreens now, apparently FedEx is going to have drop locations in all the in all Walgreens. It's apparently a pretty huge deal for Walgreens. They've been struggling quite a bit, but this is going to bring. They're saying that FedEx struck a really big deal with them, so that obviously gave them quite a bit of cash to work with. So we'll see what, you know. There's not enough. I'm in a really rural area where I live, so I'm really happy to hear there's going to be more FedExes around. I know we have a couple FedEx drop areas in our area, but not much. UPS seems to have a pretty big footprint up where we are. I don't know because UPS or what, but So Apple is saying that they're going to go ahead and be getting into the original content business now. This was in the journal actually this morning, talking about how they want to get into the, they want to offer premium shows and premium content to go along with Apple Music. So this isn't a separate service. So it's not like you're going to have, okay, you're going to have Netflix and you're going to have Spotify. Apple Music is going to have, going to include, movies and, they're going to include movies and, shows as part of Apple Music. Now, they haven't said that the price is going up. That's the kicker to all this. They haven't actually said if the price is going up. But they're doing this because Apple wants to compete with Netflix, and they want to go ahead and compete with Spotify. They're two number one main competitors in the marketplace right now. So I do want to talk about one thing, though. As far as talking about this medical marijuana, so I want to get back to this. It's really not related to marijuana, but it's related to hospitals. Just to give you an update, a friend of mine, somebody close to me, it was in the hospital for about the last 2 weeks. He's been not doing too well. And let me tell you, folks, the one thing I have to tell you about the whole medical profession is it annoys the crap out of me. And I'll tell you why. Okay? First of all, this person that was in the hospital, they had something wrong. They had something on their leg. Cellulitis, and it was all flamed, and the leg was all swollen, fluid, all that kind of stuff. And so he goes to the hospital, gets admitted to the hospital, okay? And then, okay, he gets put in the hospital, and then they say, okay, well, we're going to have somebody come up and look at this. A specialist in this. Okay, there seems to be a specialist for everything in the hospital. Okay, a specialist comes, okay? Now, he's lucky he has insurance, because apparently every time this doctor comes, it's like $300. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I do stuff all the time for people. I walk through the door and just look at something real quick and then leave. I never get $300 to walk in the door. Okay, so first of all, my other problem with the whole medical industry is that everything is just inflated price-wise. Okay, that's my first issue with it, okay? My second issue with it is, okay, he's put in the hospital, and the guy's sick. He's not feeling good. And the first thing they do is they just say, oh, okay, well, we're going to have a specialist come in and look at this. Okay, the specialist doesn't show up for like 2-3 days. Okay, he got put in on a Friday night. They pretty much sat on him until Monday. Okay, he's helping him manage pain. Okay, now let me ask you a question. You're telling me that there's no specialist that can come out on a Saturday or Sunday to help somebody? It annoys me. And then when you talk to these doctors, they say all the time, oh, we're here to make people feel better. Yeah, you are, but you're also there to make a freaking fortune too. Doctors, when I go to the doctor, I remember talking to my doctor one time, and I'm pretty, he's a nice guy, I'm pretty open with him, but he said to me one time, I'm here to, help people, make them feel better, and take care of my patients. I said, yeah, but let's get one thing real about this. I said, you wouldn't be here if there's no money to be made. I dare you to go, any time any doctor meets with a drug rep and tells them how much money they can make by selling their drug, okay, you go into any and watch that doctor push that medicine over something else. Because why? Oh, it's a new medicine, and the doctor's a chance to make a fortune by prescribing it. Okay, these doctors, they'll never admit it, but they get kickbacks from these drug companies for writing scripts for this stuff. They don't admit it, but they do. I've talked to people, and I know they do. Okay, and the other thing, too, with these doctors, is I don't know what it is with them. Okay, my buddy, I went to visit him a bunch of times, he was in the hospital, okay? Every time I go there, the doctor's sitting around at the nurse's station, having coffee, flirting with the nurses. Okay, the doctor says, oh, the doctor should be in any minute now, the nurse says. Like an hour later, the doctor comes in. I'm saying, I'm watching him drink like 2, 3, 4 cups of coffee, talking to the nurses before he even comes in the room. I mean, I don't understand. Any other profession in the world, you screwed around like that, you'd be fired. Okay, I don't understand how these doctors get away with this. Okay, and I'll tell you how they get away with it, because doctors are so in demand, because nobody's going to medical school, because there's no money in it like there used to be. Okay, yeah, there's the ones that are in it are making money, but they're nowhere near making what they used to. Okay, my opinion, one of the most, and I know this for a fact, I've done research on this, one of the number one, believe it or not, doctors that make a ton of money and they're never on call and have to do anything, there's a couple of them. Okay, one is a plastic surgeon. First of all, most plastic surgeons get paid cash, okay? A lot of them don't even take insurances. because insurance won't cover that kind of stuff. So they get the cash business. They make a fortune. Okay, I mean, look at how popular plastic surgery is. They actually made a show on FX called Nip Tuck. Okay, come on now. I mean, that just shows you, okay, how, you know, how this whole medical industry is all laid out. Okay, foot doctors, that's another one. If you get a sore toe on a Friday afternoon, you're waiting. Okay, very rare do you ever get, if you get like a broken toe or something, you usually just go to the emergency room, set it, and you have to go see the foot doctor in like a week. Okay, they're never on call. Okay, the other ones you're never on call that make a lot of money. Okay, believe it or not, okay, are dentists. Okay, and I'm saying dentists, and I'll tell you why. Or, okay, is because if you get a toothache on a holiday weekend, you're pretty much waiting until the following, you know, there's no, you never get a dentist on call. And every time you go for dental work, it's always a fortune. You ever notice that? You never get a dentist that you don't spend a fortune on. It's unbelievable. Okay? Okay, another doctor, okay, that in my opinion, that's never on call, okay, is, okay, the chiropractor. Now, the chiropractor is the exception to the rule because chiropractors don't get paid nearly as much as they should, okay? And that is the one doctor that when you leave, you actually do feel a little bit better. So chiropractors, in my opinion, are actually a little underpaid for the actual service that they're providing us. And I know they say, people say, oh, quack medicine. No, it's not. Go there in pain and watch him slam you around on that freaking table for 20 minutes and watch how much better you feel when you leave there, okay? Okay, another type of doctor, okay, that really, really gets on my nerves, okay, without a doubt, we've talked about dentists, okay? We've talked about dentists, we've talked about foot doctors. The other one is eye doctors, okay? Eye doctors are never on call. Okay, if you get something in your eye, okay, on a holiday weekend, okay, you are pretty much going to be waiting till you could see the eye doctor after the holiday's over. They're never on call. Okay, you gotta. They never have. They're very rare. Only like one or two of them have late nights. Okay, they never come. There's never anything you have to go to the hospital for. Okay, it's basically a 9-to-5 job for a doctor. Okay, and you know, and the other thing too, talking about doctors, you can always tell when doctors are at the end of their ropes, or getting ready for retirement, because the one kind of doctor that you'll never ever ever. They don't have to worry about being on call. They don't have to worry about handling people they don't want to deal with. Is urgent care. Okay? An urgent care is the one place where a doctor could go. Okay? Usually, look at any doctor that owns an urgent care. They're all usually middle-aged and are sick of being on call and don't want to be freaking doctors anymore. So they just go and open up an urgent care clinic. Okay? And then what they do, they open up an urgent care clinic. Okay, and then that's all they do. They take walk-in. Oh, your wrist is broken. Okay, let's take an X-ray. Okay, we'll set it. Yep, bill the insurance. Okay, another thing. Speaking about billing insurance, go to any hospital. Okay, and I can guarantee you, the first question any of their questionnaires is not where does it hurt. It's what kind of insurance do you have. Okay, the hospital doesn't care. The doctor doesn't care. The only thing they care about is your insurance. How much can they bill? How much money can they make? Okay, that's what the whole medical field is driven by, is money. Okay, it's all driven. Okay, let me tell you something. Okay, there is absolutely no money in curing cancer, but there is a ton of money to be made by treating it. Okay, same thing with my mother. Okay. My mother, okay, is a dialysis patient, okay? She's on dialysis 5 times a week, okay? Let me tell you something. Dialysis patients, okay, are, okay, these doctors, okay? Okay, these kidney doctors, okay? They put these people on dialysis. Most of the doctors own the DaVitas, okay? They make a freaking fortune on these people. And you know what? All they do is, okay, well, we're going to, you know, oh, well, you're doing so good on the dialysis. Let's wait on the transplant. Yeah, of course they want you to be in the transplant because they're making a freaking fortune on you being hooked up to that machine 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. My mother's medical bills are like $100,000 every 3 months. Okay? I mean, the doctors are getting rich on her. Okay? Kidney doctors especially. They know it's something you need. You can't live without. Cancer doctors the same way. You can't live without your cancer treatments, so they know they have you. They can treat you however they want. They can have zero bedside manner and get away with it because they know you need it to live. Okay, that's my whole big gripe with them. That's my gripe with the whole med. It's all driven. The whole medical industry is driven by greed, okay? Let me tell you something, okay? If you had a cure for cancer, okay? If you had a cure for cancer, I can guarantee you, okay? As soon as you announced that you had a cure for cancer, any of these big drug companies would offer you a ton of money, would buy it from you and shelf it. You heard me right. They would buy it from you and they would shelf it. You know why they would shelf it? Because there's no money in curing it. If you got a magical pill, okay, and said, okay, well, this pill can cure cancer. Take it, and it cures all your cancer in your body. You can eat. The big drug companies would buy that from you and would shelf it, okay, because they do not want you to have a miracle cure because there's no money in that. Okay, let me tell you something. I knew a guy who invented these things. Actually, there was a similar product on Shark Tank, by the way, years ago. Okay, but my buddy had a similar idea. And his were actually up your nose, but the ones on Shark Tank actually were like stickers you put on your nose. And if you want, you can look it up. But it cut down. He had scientific research done as part of this, and like 70%. Of people, this thing in your nose cut back on sinus infections, cut back on allergies, cut back on colds, cut back on, okay, let me tell you something, okay, my buddy had this idea. He was offered money by all the big drug companies. They wanted to buy it and just shelf it. Why? There's no money in people buying a $3 or $4 item and sticking it in their nose and preventing all this stuff. They don't want preventative. Preventative is not money-making. If you prevent cancer, it's nowhere near as profitable as if you have and you need it treated. Okay, if you have a sinus infection, there's money in giving you antibiotics. There's no money in selling a $3, $4 thing to prevent it. The entire industry is ran by greed. Okay, look at diabetes. There will never be a cure for diabetes. Guess they have insulin pumps. They have all this type of stuff. Okay, and people say, oh, they should. I mean, I wonder if they'll have a cure. Like a artificial pancreas. Yeah, there are tons of artificial pancreases. People are constantly coming up ideas with stuff, but it never makes it to market because these big drug companies just bury it before they have a chance to get it out. Okay, it's all ran by greed. Okay, all these doctors, okay, all these doctors, these scientists, the scientists are a little, some of these scientists are legitimately want to help people, okay, but all the business end of it is all ran by these big drug cartels who know that there's money in selling medication. Do you really think this medication costs this much? No. A proven fact of how much this stuff costs, okay? I'll give you a prime example, okay? Go to your doctor and tell him you have insurance, okay? And let him send you a copy of the bill, okay? I bet you he'll bill probably $200 for okay? Go to him and tell him you don't have insurance and you have to pay cash. Your bill will be maybe $80, $90, okay? You know why? Because they bill the insurance real high so they can get as much money as they can. Now, these insurances don't pay, okay, what these doctors want. So what do? They bill higher so they get the money they want. Okay, it's all a game. It's all a game, okay? Go to any therapist, okay? Sit in the room and talk to the therapist 3 times a week. She'll never tell you you're cured. She'll never tell you. You know why he or she will never tell you you're cured? Because you know why? There's no money on if you don't need to see the therapist makes money on you coming there and seeing her and talking to her for 45 minutes to an hour every day or a couple times a week. Okay, there's no, the therapist will never say, yeah, I don't think you need to see me anymore. That'll never happen. You know why? There's no money if you don't go there anymore. She doesn't get paid unless she's listening to your problems. Okay, it's all a scam. Okay, I'm not saying people don't need therapy. Tons of people need therapy. There's an article the other day about a girl who committed suicide and live streamed it on the internet. I mean, it's really sad. Unfortunately, I wish, you know, I wish somebody would have helped that because that's just, it's really, really sad. And I just think that, you know, it's just a shame. But a young girl, too, and had her whole life ahead of her. I feel bad about it. But she's somebody that could have really used the help. But, you know, it's sad. And therapy is something that really can help people. And that's something, too, where you know, and that's, I want to say one thing about that too. I gotta say, therapists, I gotta put in the same thing with chiropractors because that's one type of doctor you go to and actually do feel better after you leave. And I do have to say, because I actually went to therapy a few times, and I can tell you this, okay? Once you leave the therapist's office, you feel like the weight of the world was lifted off your shoulders, okay? So that's one doctor. That's the same thing as a chiropractor, okay? That's one, okay? But there's no money in you not going to the chiropractor. There's no money in you not going, okay? Doctors are just like, you know, it's a business. Now, yes, there are exceptions to the rules where, yes, if you go to the chiropractor, you feel better. If you go to the to a therapist. You feel better when you leave. Okay, it's one of those things where, you know, yes, I understand they're prepared to provide a service. They have a lot of school to pay for. I know most doctors have like $500,000 in loans, which is ridiculous to begin with. That's another problem with the whole college and education thing. Why is college costing these doctors $500,000? No wonder we don't have enough of them. Okay, some of these doctors, I mean, are working out of the hospitals just because they don't feel like paying malpractice, which that's something else that's wacky in the medical industry. How much does malpractice cost? These men and women that are providing medical care almost have to charge this much just so they can afford their monthly bills. So that's another whole problem with the medical industry as well that we got to get straightened out. I mean, I'm not sticking up for them, but I'm just saying that's the truth. I mean, if you got $500,000 in debt to pay off, and you got another $100,000 a year in malpractice insurance to pay for, you know, you're going to have to charge $200 a visit because you got a ton of expenses. So, I mean, I hate to go off on doctors and I hate to go off on that stuff, but after what I've seen the last 2 weeks with my buddy in the hospital, I am so fed up with the whole medical industry right now. His doctor, I mean, he did actually, you know, once the doctor came in, it did help him. But, I mean, just the attitude my buddy got from the nurses, the attitude he got from the doctors and all that, you know, just, you know, it's not his fault he was sick. He didn't want to be in the hospital. And he did have some nice nurses that did do a lot for him. So I can't say anything bad about them. But I would say, you know, a lot of the, especially, and I don't want to pick on nurses because a very close friend of mine's a nurse. And she actually does care about the people, and she actually does want to be there. But a lot of these, some of these nurses, they just went to school because the school was free and it was good money. But, you know, a lot of them, you know, some of them do have a heart, but a lot of them, you know, they're just there for the paycheck. And the way they treat these people, especially nurses. Nurses are the ones that treat it the worst. I mean, doctors make more money than they do. And the poor nurse is the one that's got to clean up the bedpan. The poor nurse is the one that's got to take care of doing the doctor's orders and stuff like that. I mean, I really give nurses a lot of credit because I know myself, I don't know if I could deal with that, but they do. So I got to give it to the nurses. I mean, yes, some of them are there because they don't want to be, but some of them, though, they do have really tough jobs because, you know, they got to go ahead and they got to, you know, they got to deal with cleaning up the bedpan. They got to deal with when people die, cleaning them up. And, you know, there's a lot that goes in with that, especially people that work in a nursing home. These nurses that work in the nursing home. I mean, you know, it's one thing when you're a floor nurse at a hospital, you know, you people walk in and out, and it's like, you know, hey, you know, okay, you're there for a few days, okay, goodbye. Or, hey, you're there for a few days, okay, you died, I didn't know you. Imagine working at a nursing home for 10, 20 years. You get to know these people. You're taking care of them every day for years and years and years, and then they die. That's a really tough thing, and I don't know if I can actually deal with that. So I give nurses a lot. Nurses I give a little more credit to because they actually have to deal with a lot of the crap and all that, especially you got to deal with all the stuff from the doctors and all that. So I do give them credit, though. It's a tough job. I know it is. I know I couldn't be a nurse. Definitely could not. So, like I said, folks, I apologize if I'm picking, if any of you listening are nurses and doctors and all that. And believe me, I tell you, I do respect, you know, all the schooling you had to go through and all that kind of stuff. But after what I've seen the last couple of days, unfortunately, the couple good ones that are out there really, unfortunately, a couple good ones out there get really drowned out by the people that don't want to be there, especially the doctors. Some of the doctors were really just ridiculous. They treated my friend like crap, and he didn't even deserve it. He didn't even want to, you know, oh, whatever you, you know, my friend who's not really coming, oh, yeah, well, do whatever you need me to do, whatever you need me to do, whatever you need me to do. And the doctor's like, just treating him like crap. Oh, well, this is your fault because of this, or this is your fault because, like, okay, well, stop telling him he's the one that made himself sick because of this, or he's the one that made himself sick because of that. You know, how about just tell him to get better? He's trying to work with you, and, you know, you're treating him like crap. The doctor had zero bedside manner, which is another problem. They should have to take a course in hospitality or something, I swear. So, folks, I think what we'll do is I think we'll go ahead and kind of wrap this up. It's been had a good little show today. Like I said, folks, I do appreciate everybody that listens and all that. And I do, like I said, I do appreciate our doctors, our nurses, our first responders, and all those people that help take care of us when we're all sick and needing help. Like I said, I want to thank everybody for listening. And we will see you next week. Thank you very much.